This is a production of Cornell University.
Thank you. All set. All right. Welcome to the first meeting of the spring semester on January 21st. It's a little after 5:30 here in Mohawk Hall. So first of all, happy Martin Luther King Day. Since we're not federal government, we don't get it off. So thanks for coming, guys. And one other quick thing, we are testing out, Alex from CAT is with us today, and we're testing out a WebEx environment, if you will, for the meeting today. So that way, if we do pass Resolution 12 and do indeed have participation from students at the Tech campus and the Geneva campuses, we'll be ready to go with understanding our challenges in this room for IT and what else we might need to do. So Rebecca Robbins, who some of you might know, she's a field representative, is feeling sick today, so she's luckily going to be our stand-in for a little bit. So first of all, maybe, okay, I guess it will be Martin Luther King Day all of this meeting. My computer is not working. Well, so our first order of business is to do the roll call. So I'm going to use this sheet until this decides to work. Nicole is here. Giovanna? Awesome. Jenny? Great, thanks. Monet? Awesome, thank you. Drew? Awesome. Trevaney? Great, thanks. Jonathan? Hill, are you here? Jonathan, Hill. Sorry, I guess not here yet. Matt, hold in. Awesome, gotcha. Bill? Great, thanks. Han? Fantastic. Alex Moore? Awesome, thanks. Rob Moore? Great, thanks. Liz? I'm here. Eric Wager. Great, thanks. Eric Smith. Awesome, thanks. Demia. Fantastic. Great, that is all. So I sent everyone an email earlier today, but I have to amend that email. We actually have two voting member positions that are vacant right now. Alex Black, unfortunately, had to wasn't able to serve for the rest of the semester, and also Xiaoqing is not able to make it to GPSA meetings, so she has resigned. So we have two spots. If anyone's interested, and maybe my computer will decide to work again, I don't know. Those two seats are one was currently occupied by a humanities student, and the other is physical sciences. Xiaoqing was physical sciences. So we'll be voting on those a little bit later today. See, next on the agenda, if I can remember it, I really apologize about this. I don't know what it's doing. First on our agenda is a presentation from Greg Eels. He is the director of the Counseling and Psychological Services at Connect. Is that right?
That's correct.
Fantastic. Thank you. I do have your presentation, so I'm going to... looks like we're good to go now. Okay. Let's see. Yeah. There we go. We're back up.
So I'd like to talk to you, all of you, a little bit about some of our work with mental health and our mental health resources here. So I'm going to be able to talk briefly. There's really one other question. I want to hear your perspective, the questions you have about the services that we offer. So in a second, we put up a graphic on how we think about mental health issues. And really, throughout the semester, we've done a lot of work with Kent on a lot of these issues. We really think about how we approach the campus a lot. And we do myself, I think myself, a bit on our wheel. We kind of incorporate a lot of different an issue. So let's go back to the one.
Come in.
We show you some things we focus on the broader university campus, some of the efforts we engage in a lot more on campus around the university calendar, working on academic environments, talking to different people, and we identify the Cornell about how we can make the education safe for what's up. I think that's definitely And I think we're trying to look at that and manage and respond to that. Some of the ways we respond to some of the resources. Hit my last slide. Offering an individual psychotherapy medication has been present in a pretty large number. We do that. We do sometimes refer to that to the office, sometimes we have to people saying, you know what, once a week, that's what I'm definitely something we do. Yeah, but we will see people towards kind of individual symptoms, stabilization, some longer term management, definitely some of our longer clients between 5, 6, 7 years have been registered. So we do support that to see over longer period of time. We just have to balance that with 3,000 other students, which is like total students we're seeing 25,000 visits. We do offer a variety of different groups. So we have, if you look at our group program, about a third of them are favorite students. So there's a great student general living therapy group, a growth center through connections, and children's learning and social connections, social anxiety and mood, positive action, a color gratitude group. So those are three of our groups that really want to focus on gratitude, kind of listening to the concerns around not only the media group, but undergraduates, because the need to serve as well as kind of PA, not only the students and groups and the education work, the teaching. We targeted our Red Cross sites, like what I called the law school, the med school, the business school, to make them more accessible. We also have a lot of Red Cross sites in other places, so if you're a law student, the last one you want to go to the expert is in the law school. There are a whole other group of Red Cross sites here. We can see those on the website, try to make that more accessible. We do a lot of community consultation with graduate schools, so we do work with that office. One of the things that we do, and we've worked with over the years to get the graduate school attention, is when graduate students make outreach for whatever reason, to make sure that they commit and preserve all the funding and financial aid they have in place. So some of that's a little crazy, but we're not controlled by individual professors and we're trying to push that to my agency. And I think those are my main kinds of organizations that are going to have plenty of time to do that question and to hear perspectives and different things to read about those things.
Thanks, Greg. I'll let you state your own questions, but I'll start with a question from Rebecca.
Okay.
She wonders what the percentage of graduate students of the total is that use the counseling services. Like, do you know how many grad students out of the total 3,000? Or how many are grad students?
It's consistently been about a third of our numbers have gone up. So
okay.
Pretty close to 1,000. Now, this year we're still collecting data.
Mm-hmm.
Last year it's been about a third. Going back to data from Wednesday.
The
furthest back
that
I
have is
about
the
so
it's been
consistently a third of our clients
have been
graduate
professionals.
Yeah.
Just as a follow-up, do you also serve
staff,
staff, faculty?
The FSAP program, which is part of the CAPS administrative unit, it's a separate, so they have a separate office in Collegetown and they will see faculty.
So it's one-third of students?
Yes, one-third of all students.
Okay.
And it's separate, it's really more for the administrative support that we move to today.
I need to look at that question.
Yeah.
No, go ahead and state your own question. It's quite all right. We have plenty of time, so.
So I think that I'd like to say that it really sounds like you've done a lot of work to really expand and sort of meet the students where they are. One of the concerns that I heard from graduate students is the lack of support over the summer and winter break for students, particularly the summer. A lot of students who might start in the fall get very comfortable in the counselor in the spring, and then because they're on the 9 month term of the head or the college, they don't, the graduate students who do during the summer doesn't have that class.
So I'll put a little bit about our focus. So we have about 35 total staff, which is 30 FTEs, which means a big group of our counselors are in the classroom. So your registry, your sitting around, it frequently happens you have to change classes. It's like, I have to show up on the contract, so that doesn't happen. I mean, they go to a reduced schedule, but they're still there, so I don't think they need to change it, but it does happen frequently if they change challenges. which is a bigger resource issue. I mean, we're kind of, we scale down to staff based on overall need, which means a lot of staff might come on contract, which means the students are sitting around. And it's not that they can't see a number, they just, that's the first option for the summer. They can go back in the fall and then start to start coming in. But, yeah.
How
specific
sort of, but I think one of the questions would be for graduate students, are there any plans to increase that number over the summer? Because that's what a lot of students kind of get have to be referred out to the community over the summer.
We do refer some. I mean, one of the things we do quite a bit is we talk about it, but it's not a race, and you feel like, I mean, it's kind of a question that we have, you know, would you like to continue? Would you like to take a break in the summer? Would you like to be a counselor for a few months, return to your counselor, would you like to be referred out? We generally present those as options to the magistrate. So anyhow, we have something that we know not increasing staffing over the summer months. And I think for us, all of our staffing, you know, how do we make sure we have enough of the need? So we do have enough clinical resources to just find that we can.
So, I also wonder if years ago now, I was going to do this year, and I just wanted to get clarified about what it should be for my students to work the year as a clinical
officer. Yeah, well, I think year is a very severe topic, and if you want, when we do a lot of training here, and expand kind of graduate students or members of the year. So, a lot of times, if you really just want to bring in the year to kind of listen, and you're okay with the year, then the year is where you want to go. And if you really want to get kind of perspective of maybe I'm not sure, I thought about education, and history is going to help me with my family, let's talk about it. The year is referred to us frequently. When someone says, well, I'm thinking about these things, well, that's not really what we're thinking for pretty good. Yeah. So, that'd be a good one. But I'm thinking about it. What you're looking for is a good one. I want to bring in a certain type of
basic training. I think he said, and I've heard about that, the nature of myself of isolation, the residence is something that a lot of us deal with. And I'm wondering, you know, we all try to reach out to new grad students, but it's kind of hard to get them really involved. Is something the grad community can do as a whole to try to help get new grad students to feel more involved in the community?
I think it's really hard to do. Anything we can do to help people connect, social way of doing it, and we're trying to walk through the steps to do it. But I think in some ways, so cool, we're a little more pathway to do some of those things. And some of this is coming from, and I've got a few grad students from Bethlehem Law School, Bethlehem Business School, and a lot of the research that's occurring. And so if we can sort of get really isolated and put it off in one lab, and a single faculty member, a small group of people, and the work that they have done, how they can be we make it very hard to make my social habits. And I think some of us come back to we are looking at how we make it in our country, find a way to make it a man. We can do a lot of the social structures. Well, so, I mean, our two main responses to that really are the Fresh Pot Program and the Community Conservation Intervention Program. We're really designed in response to some of those unique concerns. Some of our staff, you remember, there was an AGA Executive Task Force, we commissioned about 10 years ago after there was some high-level bombing and threats to the Suicide International Medical Center. It's really responding to me. So, for the thing to see, like 66, the 10th office work with, the church's land office, the response to those things, come out from our staff work, whatever work we've done, to kind of build some of the social structures. Some of the little desktop sites are almost right around SSO, so we do partnerships with the medical office, so they're aware of these things, these stresses and concerns. Well, they're going to be helpful here Thursday afternoon at this time. Our CPI program also is very much looking at some of the broader cultural and contextual factors and why someone would come. I'm sure I'm going to be very, very good at not trusting the system because of the countries they come from, both in the law providers in the country, trying to address that. I think they're crazy to say. So CPI sounds like a lot of me now, and people in the way of the so I thought it was traditional type of therapy, which is all about we need to do.
Is there a way to have students in a survey, like what do they think is missing for like activities for the month? And they are like into a student for that student and sometimes you don't know what students want or need.
Well, I mean, we do a lot of research around people. And some of this is always tricky because there's a lot of surveys that students a lot of questions. And so then we have an office that they actually ask these research questions. We work with the state office and some of these things. They have to do a detailed survey about what they think we can do differently and our services. So I think there are a lot of those survey vehicles. Some of them working with institutional research on how to balance the number of surveys you send out. I think anything that GDSA can do, you can do it definitely.
But when you go to the internet, you have to
Yeah. Part of our research survey has some open-ended questions that are kind of like that. And I don't know, I would say we probably should do more on not just asking people coming to the net, but asking everybody, like, how can we do something institutionally to kind of ask those questions? How do we change some of the culture? You know, we've got some of that through some of the news, so I think we do as well. I would probably suggest we do something that's not specific to that, but it's much broader in a lot of respects.
Just thinking about like ways in the brain, learning ways of brain, like one or ten of the friends that people end up from a call with their friends and so one thing I was wondering is what are the services available to graduate students or the foreign international students who would have
$1,000 or being a graduate school, a lot of ways, oftentimes it doesn't feel like there's Cornell and you're working with Professor so-and-so moves a particular way. And sometimes when we deal with that frequently, what is that relationship valid? There's often not another issue that graduate school struggles with, and maybe we struggle with. So are there any ways that we can help people feel part of that broader community and use that to improve it in graduate school?
Going back to over-representation of assessments for chapter 18, I was just wondering if you found that that had a lot to do with graduate students having more maturity in terms of speaking out, or...
I think that's kind of like, I mean, so the last few graduate students, I was wondering if they've all had experiences with self-interest and relatability, they've had experience with other students' experiences, so like, well, they're really good at it. One thing we look at our data is we actually see the percentage gets bigger as part of the class moving from a freshman sophomore to a junior graduate. So, the older the longer the sophomore gets, the more often they're speaking out on the year. So, definitely, I think it's a problem with that. And then people have more of a life experience and a lot of that experience of contributing to the class, growing up, and speaking out.
So one thing I did mention, which I'm glad you asked the question, is our emergency response program. So, So that actually started as a chat myself and Danny Hall was office. Our goal was to go out and talk to every faculty department on campus. But the truth is that wasn't a real sustainable strategy. So we developed a DVD that showed students, students up chat and faculty members that not all that respond and the staff version, the student version too. They kind of opened up that chat discussion. How can you train them up and exacerbate them? How difficult is it? What is your role? You don't have to be a counselor, but you can be a How can I help? I'm the person in the video that the student asked, can I talk to them? No, there are other people better trained for that. I'm a good one. So they're doing some role modeling. So that goes to the program we developed. And then I think we've over 2,000 faculty and staff that have seen the video. A lot of it's about the faculty. The department saying, okay, what happens? And we better go out and offer it. Sometimes we're more receptive than others. That is a program we developed. It's been very successful. Requests from moving data. And they're saying, yes, I really feel very much more comfortable about being able to respond to student stress. So the program has worked pretty well. It's reached a lot of people and something better to show them that. Other questions?
And if anyone from the audience area, I know there are some members up there, but if anyone up there has a question, please feel free to ask. Okay. Yeah, thanks, Greg. Appreciate it. And next on the agenda, we all received an email just, I don't know, about an hour before the meeting from Matt Holden, who is our representative to the Dining Committee, which is a student assembly committee that oversees, or I think advises, Cornell Dining. I'm not quite sure what it is. But Matt presented to us last September with a resolution supporting a dining meal plan for graduate and professional students. So Matt's going to give his report on what it's all about.
Okay, so basically last semester I made a presentation about a new dining plan. Previously, Cornell Dining had a dining plan for graduate students that had a $50 administrative fee, which ended up making it so that you were basically losing money. So I went to Cornell Dining and I was like, this makes more sense, we need to make a new plan. And so this is the new plan. So effectively, if you enroll in the plan, you use your ID card as a debit card at Cornell Dining locations. There's an 8% tax discount at every Cornell Dining location. That should be used They could be Trillium, it could be Sacred Star, it could be pretty much all of them on campus or library. It gives an additional 5% discount for food items versus the Sacred Star. So that's always a Cornell signing item. You don't get 95 cents a year. And the big thing is there's no administrator fee anymore. You put $50 on the plan, and then you can spend those $50. So nothing goes to the administrator. It all goes back to you. And you can add money to the plan whenever you like. One key thing is that the money expires at the end of the spring semester. So you actually use up all the money that we account by the end of spring. That probably shouldn't be a problem with $50. That'd be like one meal every 10 days or something like that. So there's, in that email, there's instructions on how to apply. So how many people have smartphones or tablets or laptops? If you could take your smartphone and forward that email right now, that would be great to your field. If Cornell Dining increases the number of people who enroll in the plan by a certain amount, they'll continue the plan probably indefinitely. Currently, there's like 70 students on the old plan, so it probably doesn't take that much to this plan instead. But is there any questions about the plan? I think there's a way to purchase the summer plan, but the money does expire from this fall. My guess is by the end of spring that will be worked out.
And Matt, you also, I'm not quite sure if you explicitly said it, but it's in the email that after you sign up, you sign up and it's $50, and then if you want to add money beyond that, you can add it in any increment.
Yeah, so you can add money in any increment. You don't have to add in $50. So you just, let's say if you spent $50 and you have 1 week to go, you can add like $5. That's fine. So that's still allowed. But $50 just gets charged to your reserve card.
Okay, well, thank you, Matt, for the resolution. Fantastic. And before we go on to Resolution 12, one thing I forgot to do before we start is approve the minutes from November 26th. You all should have received the email that Nicole sent last Friday with the minutes attached. So are there any amendments to the minutes as they were sent? Great. Seeing none, the minutes are approved. Fantastic. Okay, now we'll move on to Resolution 12. And just for a quick reminder, we discussed this at our last meeting on November 26th. You can pull up the minutes if you like, since they are now official. We had a very lively discussion. If anyone would like some reminders, we can certainly bring that up. But what's going to happen today is we'll discuss it further. Amendments can, I believe, still be made, and then at the end we'll go ahead and take a vote on it. And because this is a charter change, it takes 2/3 of the members to actually change it, which I think is today 12, or always 12, but today 12. So for a quick reminder, this is the, I would say, one of the more important resolved clauses in Resolution 12, and this is the language here in the resolution. So, Nicole, you are the official introducer. Do you have anything else to add?
No. Do you guys want me to review it again? Yes. And that's what I'm supposed to do. I mean, the first thing is the master's, but there's going to be a lot of research PhDs there. I mean, it's not going to be a professional school, but it's going to be both research and professional oriented master's.
The students are part of the graduate school, so, yeah. So, again, do you want us to review the discussion from last time? General head nods? Anything?
Okay. So again, this resolution would amend the charter to add 2 additional field representatives, one from the Cornell NYC Tech Center and another one from the Geneva Center. These are sort of, I guess, well, they're separate. They're obviously separate campuses from the Ithaca campus. The students are members of the graduate school here, but we feel that because they're separate campuses with sort of separate needs, that sort of it's reasonable for them to have sort of an additional representation on the GPSA. And that's partially because these students do pay the graduate instructional student activity fee, and so any student organizations that will be there, any sort of foreseeable future will be supported through our activity fee and through the student activities office that's currently here. So this sort of ensures that they have participants active in the budget.
Okay, great. Thanks, Nicole. So we'll open it up for discussion. Any discussion items or motions on the table? Yeah, please.
I have a question on the sure. One floor. It says that it would be a part of the graduate study. It would be a professional school. And I was just seeing that the feeling of students that they have is that they're sort of or not for the other campuses that they have on the charter.
Yeah,
so this is the language from the charter itself. So I guess I should have bolded or separated out. Point 3 is the quote-unquote new section in this. So point 4 is existing language.
The only thing that's changed is the addition of the word or campus. So technically, for all fields, they get to decide their own means of electing their representative. For all the fields, professional schools, and we're just essentially saying that these new campuses would have that same right. If there's not an election, these are sort of alternative methods by which members can be appointed. So the DGS or officially appointing a member. As you probably, most of you know that are here, oftentimes it can be as simple as being the only one that volunteers. I'm trying to say, good for you, go right ahead. But there are fields where the elections are quite contested, actually. So it really varies kind of benefits.
Good question, and thank you. Any other discussion? Please. Yes, assuming this is why Alex is here today, assuming that we can get the WebEx thing to work so they can see this too, we'll be having them webbed in some way. right now, Rebecca is still listening, I think. And so at the very least, we'll have that capacity. I've also asked the chief information officers office to help us look for an additional or a separate meeting space. I mean, as you can tell, this meeting space is pretty ideal, as dirty as it might be. It is a pretty ideal space for the nature of an assembly, and so it's a challenge finding a different meeting space. But we're looking into having that done. I should also say, I mentioned this last time, that I am going to be going down to New York City to meet with the new students at the Tech campus. I think there are about 15 of them. So I'm hoping to talk with them about how best they would like to participate. I would imagine that this would be a useful way to do that. So there's a different option. They are Tech students, so maybe they'll have a different suggestion. But for right now, we'll have something like this. Yeah, you have again? Correct, yep.
Yeah.
And that's something that we would likely need to look at is, you know, is anyone going to be able to web conference in, or just the representatives? So that's something that's not clarified in the resolution, but we can clarify that through just negotiation, I guess, if you will. But, yeah, Giovanna.
So it would be nice
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, if this all just works out in an ideal way, I'm definitely going to be pushing for people to join me/us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Like, yeah, I mean, just one person, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other individuals watching? Anything else? Yeah, Matt? Yeah, Liz?
I think it would be all really great ideas, but I think we might want to just think this is a first step towards more of organic structures. We have some of those little things we really want before we don't even work out all the details today. There's stuff on the site today. But I really like the essence of the resolution. I really like the idea that we're trying to create a feeling of a whole Cornell community.
And there is another results clause in the resolution that I think essentially calls on the university, our support staff, and the student activities, student and academic services office to look at how best to integrate them into. So I guess we in GPSA leadership just kind of take that as our key to make sure that we work out some of the logistical details. So it's addressed here, but very generally. Bill?
Sure.
With the existing system, there might be some obstacles in taking documentation of the funding that is currently being done by the resources for the conference, depending on the type of funding that's being requested. Once, if we get to a new system that is all electronic, then I don't foresee any issues. So, regardless of whether the campus is going to be all electronic, equally reimbursed. But with the current system, there's going to be some backlash associated with getting campus mail delivery and stuff like that. So, that's definitely a very good question. We need to think about that and we need to take into account the fact that the meeting is going to be.
And to add to that, I mean, most of the financial system is sort of handled by the Office of Assembly,
right,
who is also a part of this involved club. So they're also responsible to figure out how the decisions will work out. They do most of the application process as well as not distributing the funds.
Okay, responding upon that. I'm in sort of horticulture where we have students in Geneva, and so our fellow my graduate student organization. So, I mean, they're applying for funding, technically also they apply to the district campus and to the Geneva campus, even though those students are really only in one organization. They're going to be with that, or same with the engineering organization that they might be down in. In New York City, and there's a lot of costs over there. At least each certain department will be in trouble with all the funding possibilities.
And they're independent organizations. Because I know in Geneva, we do get funding from Ithaca, and we get funding from the Stern Station. So they're totally independent of the Ithaca version of their respective departments.
So if we did have a separate organization, the computer science has a separate organization, and the registered organization that they are, then they could apply for funds, even though computer science is different, have their own office, and we could offer them a separate organization.
For the purposes of field funding, only one organization is possible to be official field.
Because there are no new fields created by the Cornell Tech campus, and similarly, there are no separate fields at Geneva. Giovanna?
It's not entomology, it's SAGES, the Student Association of the Geneva Stern Station. So it's all four of us together getting funding from both places.
Okay, anyone else? No other concerns about the resolution or the ideas behind it? There were some last time. Great. Seeing no further discussion, we'll go ahead and move to a vote. So again, this requires a two-thirds vote of our members to pass. And so those of you with a green placard, if you're in favor of this resolution, please raise it now. Any opposed? Great, fantastic. Resolution 12 passes 15-0. We will hopefully have two new field representatives at our next meeting. I'll be sure to let you all know. So next in our agenda, we have, as I mentioned at the beginning, we have two voting member vacancies. And as per the language in our charter, to fill this, it is thrown open at large to anyone, any field representative. I don't know why a voting member would want to run for this, but she could. But any field representative from any department. So whereas the two vacancies are in the humanities program and the physical sciences area of the graduate school, it is open to anyone. I know there are differing opinions among some of the members, but that is what the charter says right now. So what we'll do is we'll go ahead and take nominations, and if we have I guess, yeah, if we have more than two, since they are essentially the same seat, then we'll go ahead and do a ballot and do an election. So you're welcome to nominate someone else, and you're welcome to nominate yourself. So I see Evgeny. Do you accept your nomination? Fantastic. Are there further nominations? Mia?
I'd love to nominate two more.
Okay.
Can I just say, Chris is one of the nominees that we're very much, but there's very many right now, and we're having a lot of funding issues in the humanities department that we're trying to deal with, and so we really do really know the humanities version of to help us as we try to navigate possible solutions, and so I just wanted to put that out there.
Great, thank you. Christine, do you accept? Okay, great. Are there other nominations for either one of these two voting positions? No other nominations? Great. Seeing none, the nominations are closed now. Since we have two nominees and two positions, we'll just go ahead and do a voice vote. All those in favor of David Bunk and Christine Yao filling both these two positions, say aye.
Aye.
Great, thanks. All opposed? Fantastic. great. Welcome, David. Welcome, Christine. We'll get you green placards next time, but yours has turned green as of now. We don't have anything more to vote on, though. So right now, we'll go ahead and move on to reports of officers and committees. So first of all, as you can tell, we've rearranged the agenda a little bit. This was due to some suggestions from the members that we don't leave the resolution until the very last part on the agenda. So I hope this has been useful for everyone, and we actually might get out early today, which, well, maybe. We'll see. I haven't done my report yet. Anyway, so I hope this is useful, and if you have any thoughts on switching the agenda, please let me know. So first of all, my report. Just to keep in mind, we do have elections starting in April. These are the very last two meetings. The first, on April 15th, our second to last meeting, we will be electing the voting members. Spot, all except for the two master's degrees who are elected at the beginning of the semester, and then the professional schools who choose their own voting members in their own ways, unbeknownst to the rest of us. And so do consider, if you're a field representative or a voting member, if you'd like to continue or run for a seat. And then on the 29th, we will elect the new officers. So if you're at all interested in any of the three of our positions or any of the voting members' positions,
or you have questions about them,
yes, like time commitment and et cetera, we're happy to chat with you about it, and just go ahead and reach out to the person whose position you'd like to fill. Secondly, we have Campus Life has generously agreed to help us in the GCI process. By hosting four different housing focus groups, two for essentially a discussion on on-campus housing options, and two focused on off-campus housing. And so they're scheduled, as you see up here. Tomorrow we have one at Hasbrook, so if any of you here are Hasbrook residents and haven't signed up, be sure to come. They are giving $10 Cornell Dining Meal cards to anyone who shows up, which is a really great deal. And if you mix that with what you purchase, you probably get taxes off. So we only have just a couple people signed up for the off-campus housing, and I know from our discussion last fall that most all of us live in off-campus housing. So please do come and talk with the folks there. There's going to be representatives from Campus Life and also from the off-campus housing office who joined us previously. I'll be there too, if that helps. We really do need people to participate. Please do tell your field to join. I will send an email out to the list, and please do forward that on. We also have another off-campus housing session next week that we don't have anyone signed up for yet. So, oh yeah, apologies. They're all at 4:30, and they're just for an hour. Sorry about that. Secondly, we have discussed amongst the GCI committee, not at length, but among the GCI committee and the executive board, to, as we look forward to finishing up the GCI process and putting our final document together, to introduce each of the 8 topic areas that we're working on within the GCI committee. We have subgroups, if you will, subcommittees, I don't know, whatever they're called, that are focusing on each topic area. And so our thought is to introduce each of them as a separate resolution, so that way we don't present this to you guys on March 25th and say, here, vote on this entire document with very limited discussion time. So our thought was to introduce each topic area as a separate resolution and maybe do 2 or 3 of them every meeting starting in February. That would give us all a chance to really look through the language and discuss each of the items at length. And it would also allow, obviously, since everything's open and anyone can come to these, it would allow other graduate students or professional students to come and join us and have their say in the GCI. So if you have any thoughts about that, if you think it's a horrible idea, if you think it's a great idea, do let me know. And also, if you're interested in getting involved in the GCI committee, please send me an email. We need all the people we can get. Eric and Nicole, do you have anything else?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. Bill, do you have anything?
We're starting our firearm funding process up next Friday. So if you are part of a student group that's currently receiving the university funding and think that you're eligible for firearm funding, talk to me and I'll be sure to get the information that your group gets the information. Also, I'm welcoming that my committee is becoming more active. Apparently, we have 3 people on my committee following me, and we're going to get 2 more. Filing funding is important. You probably all pay your $40.50.
Okay, thanks, Bill. Marcus can't join us, but as always, if you have items to submit to our buzz, please send them Marcus's way or my way. Vinay, do you have anything?
Actually, we'll be meeting February 8th.
Okay, thanks, Nick. Giovanna?
So we come and we're trying to grow the organization. So we have talked about like when people come in the like class transfer day, they are overwhelmed with all the things, like all the information for the camera, transportation, everything like 1 day, like throughout. So we want to like do something at the bigger form or invite some of these groups that grad students get an opportunity of seeing everything again and
okay, and be sure to like GPSA on Facebook. I don't post very much, but I know others do much better than I would ever do. And I think there's also a Facebook page for GPS TV, right?
Great.
We just have about 6,500 left to go. Yeah, so please do find them on Facebook. If you're at all friends with me, I don't know, you'll find it online, I think. So do like it, and you'll get all of the great things that TPS TV is doing. Okay, Yevgeny?
Our first meeting of the year is going to be this Thursday, which is on Thursday, 6-7 p.m.
Great, thanks, Yevgeny. And Parag? Okay, sounds great. Well, awesome. Now we're in open forum. Is there anyone who has anything else? Please. Hey, thanks. Anyone else for open forum? Great, thanks guys. We're done early for once. Is there anything else? Any other business? Great, fantastic. Thank you all. Meeting is adjourned now, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
So, what do you guys want to do next week?
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.